Welcome to Steadfast Hope. Thank you for joining us. This is going to be a great devotion, a great study. This is Kent Steinbeck sitting right here.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this is for me.
No.
And everybody out there is listening. As you teach me what I need, that's fine.
No, that's okay.
No, I'll take it.
Let
them join.
This is
your devotional to me.
This is for me. If this spills out into your life, Kent, then
no. This is for me. You told me before we were going on camera.
I did not.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get to say. I'm Steve Lawson, and this is Steadfast Hope. We are in Genesis 22, verses 15 to 17. And Kent, the name of this is this devotion. God honors obedience. And we already know this is going to be practical. We already know this is going to be what we need to hear. And this takes place in the account of God's call upon Abraham's life to take his son Isaac, his only son, and to go to the land of Moriah and there to build an altar and put wood on the altar and then place his son on the altar and to sacrifice his son unto death. And so Abraham heads out. And interestingly enough, he tells his attendants, we'll both be back. We'll both be coming back. I'm going up there to sacrifice my son, but we both will be coming back. What faith Abraham had, because he knew that God would have to do something miraculous because the promise, the Abrahamic promise, would come through Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaac would have to live somehow through this. And so we read in verse 15, after God intervened, Abraham passed the test and God provided a sacrifice, a ram that was caught in the thicket. We now read in verse 15, then the angel of the Lord, and that would be the pre-incarnate Christ, mm-hmm. called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son.
Mm.
Indeed, I will greatly bless you. And I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. Kent, the word that just leaps off the page in verse 17 to me is bless. I will greatly bless you. And this is really the result of Abraham's obedience to God. God called him and commanded him to sacrifice his son, and Abraham obeyed, and he took him to Mount Moriah, and there to sacrifice him, of course, as I've already said, God intervened and spared Isaac and provided the sacrifice, and because Abraham passed the test of obedience and trusting God, therefore, God blessed him. And there's a very fundamental principle here, Kent, that we need to understand is that obedience honors God and God honors mm-hmm. obedience. God desires to see obedience. God commands our obedience and God will bless our obedience. And we really cannot expect God's blessing to be upon our disobedience. Because God is a holy God, and God is a just God, and God is gracious to forgive us when we do disobey Him. But let us be reminded that it is along the path of obedience that the blessings of God come to our lives. It was a lesson that Abraham needed to learn. It's a lesson that we all need to learn and of which we need to be reminded. So, Kent, we need to talk about this. This is so practical.
Mm-hmm.
This is so personal.
Yeah.
This is so really potent for our lives. So, let's talk about it.
Steve, I think we have a lot of listeners out there that may say, look, I'm saved. I'm certain of my salvation. God's forgiven me all my sins, past, present, and future. Why does it matter if I'm forgiven, if I indulge myself, if I sin some? Does it really matter I'm already forgiven?
Yeah.
Can you sort through that that type of thinking?
Yeah, Kent. It's known as antinomianism,
okay,
which is a fancy word that means against the law.
Are you using those big words with me again?
And you know what that means. It means against the law, which is what disobedience is, against the law. And it's a laissez-faire attitude that does not take God's law, moral law, seriously, his commandments seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it doesn't matter how I live. I'm all under grace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God does forgive us eternally
mm-hmm.
When we come to him by faith. But we always pay a price, a painful price, when under grace, the eternal grace of God, we step into disobedience. We forfeit. We forfeit joy. We forfeit peace. We forfeit the power of God. We forfeit fruit in our ministry. We forfeit the power of the Holy Spirit. We might even forfeit our ministry. And so there is so much that we forfeit when we are disobedient to the law of God. And we need to be reminded of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will still end up in heaven. It might be that you get to heaven sooner than what you originally thought.
Wow.
From our perspective, a premature death.
Mm.
It's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. It's what happened to Moses. Mm-hmm. It's what happened to some of the Corinthians.
Mm.
That there are multiple examples in Scripture of those who lived in disobedience to God.
Yeah.
And God took their life to heaven, even as a believer.
Mm.
And so it's imperative that we, by grace, live a life of obedience. Mm-hmm. We cannot do so perfectly, obviously, but it needs to be the pursuit of our life and the intention of our heart and how much we sacrifice. In fact, the Scripture says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, right, the Lord will not hear from heaven.
Sure.
We even forfeit power in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Our prayers are hindered. In 1 Peter 3, 7, it says that if we do not honor our wife as a weaker vessel, our prayers will be hindered.
Mm.
So we forfeit so much
when
we do not walk in paths of obedience.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for you to ask that question, and that really opens up a huge discussion.
Yeah, so Steve, kind of to drill down to the next level, you say we're not perfect. We know we're not perfect. We still have remaining sin, unfortunately. How then does this look in our daily lives if we think of 1 John 1:9 and the battle? How does it look when we go out there into the world? We want to serve the Lord. We stumble, we fail. Give us a little bit of a snapshot.
Yeah. Ken, I think that we forget that we need to be confessing our sins as soon as we are aware that we have committed a sin. And I think because we are eternally forgiven of all of our sins, we think that we are relieved from our responsibility on an ongoing basis to be asking for God's forgiveness, which is necessary in order to keep short accounts with the Lord. And as soon as we are convicted of a sin, we need to immediately just stop right there and ask for God's forgiveness. And it might even require us going to someone else and asking for their forgiveness. So it's important that we be confessing our sins. And you quoted 1 John 1, verse 9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that happens not just at the moment of conversion, but we are to be continually confessing our sins throughout our Christian lives so that we don't do not forfeit all the things that That's I just good. Walked through. We'll never forfeit our eternal yeah. salvation. That can never be taken away from us. But there are temporal blessings yeah. that we would forfeit because of failing to obey God and failing to confess it when we disobey God. Mm-hmm. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 mm-hmm. are great portions of Scripture to read when David finally confesses his sin as a believer. Well, I know this is very practical for each one of us, beginning with me, beginning with Kent, continuing with you, that we all need to be those who walk in obedience and confess our sins when we are disobedient. Well, may the Lord take from this passage and apply it to your life in a very real way, and may you walk in paths of obedience with the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.